You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, it's 2025, and it's starting off weird. We thought 2024 was bad. You know, record-breaking snow in the South, including 6 inches in parts of Florida. Buckle up, everybody. Ooh. The South is closed indefinitely. We will never open again. Roads are closed. Until it gets to be about 80 degrees again, you're not going to see anybody doing any. Atlanta looked like it was gridlock. It was just stopped.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Your traffic days, it would have been so much fun. You could just come on and said, don't worry, everybody. All the roads are closed. Do not drive
anywhere.
Yeah,
don't go.
Don't go anywhere. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings, and I'm in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, January 22nd, episode 3610, brought to you today by Poseidon Animal Health.
Hello, horse world. It's Wednesday, the day you start daydreaming of a weekend with your horses. We'll help you get there with more silly horse talk on Horses in the Morning.
That's right. It is Wednesday, and we're so glad to have Jamie back. We're going to find out how her surgery went and what's going on over there. We have two guests that are returning to the show. Jillian Higgins is going to talk about Pilates for horses, and Dr. Michelle DeBoer is going to talk about the study on round bale feeders and hay waste. Which one's the best? Should you use one? All of that stuff. Do we have weird news?
We have some weird news. We got a couple weeks worth, so okay. had to do 20 hours
of weird news today.
Yeah.
And then in the Auditor Post Show, we're continuing the year of meeting our auditors with Robin Donahue from Texas is going to join us in the Auditor Post Show. How are you doing, my friend? I've missed you. It's been a while.
Oh, gosh. I'm living the dream, man. You know, here's how my day went yesterday. All right. So I had surgery 7 days ago.
For new listeners, she had shoulder surgery.
Yes. Yeah. And I like to, people ask me what happened. I think it's just living hard. Like I lived well and I lived hard and old enough to pay for it now. So I had to have all the surgery. And so yesterday I'm sitting in the house and I'm still one armed. I'm still in a brace. And I was sitting there and I was like, you know, I'm just so bored. I don't do bored very well. I'm not one that sits still very long. So I'm sitting in the house and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to just go muck the stalls because like they're gross. I really need to clean the stalls. So I get up to go clean the stalls and I'm like, idiot, you only have one arm. You can't clean the stalls. Oh, fine. So I sit down. I'm like, okay, I'm so bored. What else can I do? You know what? I'm going to go work. I worked a horse in the round pen on Saturday. I was like, maybe I can like get one trotting over some trot poles or something, you know? And so I go to get up and I'm like, idiot. You can't even put a halter on a horse because you only have one arm. Fine. Okay. I sit down. I'm like, you know what? I need to get some new shirts. Like I could go to the mall and get a couple new shirts. Idiot. You can't even try on shirts right now. Like that's how my life is right now. There's so many things I want to do and I can't do it. And it's super frustrating. I'm glad I picked this month because it's so cold outside. Nobody wants to do anything anyway, but like literally not doing things is making me crazy. So that's how it's going, Glenn. Imagine living with me.
I must say that you're doing better than when I talked to you last. You called me about 2 days after surgery and you sounded like the happy pills were making you very happy at that point. So,
well, you don't think about it, but they put a trach tube down your throat. And like, I only just started being able to talk properly like day before yesterday. So, because it really damages your throat, as you know, but yeah. And so I couldn't talk. I was on drugs and this last week has been a blur. I don't even know what day it is. I'm lucky to be here.
And has your husband been a good nurse or have you kicked him out?
Funny you should ask. He's been mainly great. But here's the thing is like when you have this surgery, you can't shower because you have like four open holes in my shoulder with sutures, right? Yeah. So on my first day of physical therapy, they took off the bandage and they were like, okay, here's what you want to do. Go to the store and just get some waterproof bandages and put them over each one of the holes. So I'm like, okay. That sounds great. Well, I can't go to the store. So Chad takes me home and he's like, I'm going to run to Walmart. I'll get the bandages and whatever else we need. Well, he comes home with like you know, $200 worth of crap, right? Bags and bags of stuff. And it comes to the evening time and I'm like, oh, thank God. I haven't showered in like 5-6 days. Like, I mean, it's bad. Like, I'm lighting candles in the house because I'm just like, yeah. So I'm like, oh, thank God. So I go to get ready to take a shower and I'm like, okay, hand me the bandages. Let's do this.
He didn't get any.
I forgot the bandages. I'm like, you literally went to the store for one thing and you came home with $200 worth of crap and you didn't get the bandages. He's like, wait. They said what you can do is you can just put saran wrap over it. So we can go get saran wrap. So I get in the shower and I'm like letting it run and I'm standing there and I'm waiting for him to come with the stupid saran wrap. And he comes back in and he's like, we don't have any saran wrap. I was like, excuse me, I have to shower. Like, I can't take it. My hair is grease. I'm getting dreadlocks. So he's like, okay, I got an idea. And he goes back and he comes back again. And he's got a Ziploc bag that he has taken scissors to and cut the corners of the Ziploc. So opens it up all the way. And I'm like, well, it's not going to stay. I'm like, he busts out the Christmas scotch tape. Glenn, he starts scotch taping a Ziploc baggie to the open wounds on my shoulder.
Oh, that hurt.
As I've been, I was like, this is not going to stick. Scotch tape does not stick in water. Chad, what are you doing? Ugh. So I just sucked it up.
He obviously
and
didn't take just, the medic class in the military.
I don't feel like he was a properly trained medical anything ever in his whole entire life. As he's scotch taping Ziploc bags to my naked body. Okay. Picture that, people. Don't worry. People get stupider. I'll tell you about Daily Winnie.
He doesn't have a serious job or anything. He's not an airline pilot. Don't worry about that.
No, it's fine. Everything's fine. He's only flying your plane across the country. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah, he'll take care of you, unlike his wife.
Like, is that Christmas tape? Did you go into the Christmas tape, like all the wrapping paper and stuff? He's like, yeah, it's fine. That's the only tape.
He goes, I have this tape too. I mean, there could have been that.
Oh, no. He goes, I have this too. It's half used vet wrap. And I was like, that is not going to work.
It's not real waterproof.
No.
All right, let's do some Daily Winnies. Welcome back anyway. We have a couple auditor birthdays today. Kaylin Schildmeier, Diane Whitlock, and Martha Kors. Happy birthday to all of you. I can't wait to see what yours is going to be.
Well, I'll give you the good one. Anna and Ginger have been amazing in taking care of the farm and all the horses and all the needs. Yeah, they've been awesome. So Ginger brings them in and Anna turns them out and does all the blankets and all the food. And, you know, Duke gets like all sorts of special stuff and they've been real good. Then I was going to tell you, what's it? Is it the buck off?
Oh, yeah. Ashley does buck offs.
Okay. So
I don't have a sound effect for that.
I'm at physical therapy. No. So like, you know, I can be fairly sarcastic, especially if I'm on pain medication. I get a little sassy. So it was last Friday. I was at my second physical therapy appointment. Mind you, that's 4.5 days out from a shoulder surgery to where I'm learning how to remove my arm. Okay. So I've got this sweet guy and his name is Mason. And so you're on these tables and there's like, it's just a factory of physical therapy. So there's all these beds and all these people doing all these things. And I'm laying on my little thing. I'm done. I sit up and he's like, so Jamie, and Chad's with me, he goes, do you have any fun plans for the weekend? And I'm like, yeah, Mason, here's what I'm going to do. On Saturday, I'm going hang gliding with my husband. And he kind of like, ha, you know, like I'm a smart ass. Like, it's fine. Like, I get a little sarcastic. I'm going hang gliding. Do you know what hang gliding is? Yeah, you have to stick your arms out and you're flying on a glider, okay? Like, it's obviously, it's ridiculous. That was just the first thing that popped into my mind. So Monday, I have to go in for my third physical therapy. And I'm in there with Mason and we finish up and I walk over to kind of get my jacket. And there's this other physical therapist who's standing there and he like goes to help me put on my jacket. And he like he's holding it and I'm putting my arm right arm in it. And he's like, so how was your weekend? And I was like, well, I mean,
why do they ask people who are in a sling how their weekend was, who just had surgery?
He goes, okay, this kid is like probably, I mean, he looks 12, but he's probably like 23 and is a certified physical therapist. Okay, so he's in there helping injured people all day and he's helping me put on my jacket. And he goes, how was your weekend? And I was like, I mean, you know, I didn't really do anything. He goes, wait, didn't you say on Friday you were going hang gliding with your husband? How was that? And I can't, again, the sarcasm comes out of my mouth and I just can't not say things. And I just looked at him and I go, thank God you're pretty.
What do you say to that?
He just kind of like put the jacket on and I was like, I can't believe I said that. And I just walked out. I haven't been back since then.
I bet you haven't.
Tomorrow. I have to go tomorrow. Oh, thank God you're pretty.
All they did was talk about you all.
Oh, that. God. There you go. That's how it's going, Glenn.
Should we go back to talking about the snow in the South?
Yay. We had a lot of snow here, but it melted and just in time for all the things. Yeah, great. Yeah, it sucks. Snow in the South is the worst. So
New Orleans had 10 inches in New Orleans in the city.
That's crazy.
It's just nuts. The I-10, you know, everybody knows I-10 that's driven in the South because it goes from Florida all the way across, like to Texas.
Yeah.
And it's a fun road on a good day.
10 goes through Phoenix all the way to California.
Oh, does it really? It goes the whole way across?
Yes.
Well, I-10's closed for 60 miles in Florida because you can't drive on it. Because remember, we don't have plow trucks or salt trucks. We don't have those here. So anyway, I talked about PodFest on Monday with Ashley, but there's one thing I forgot to talk about. I met a pseudo-celebrity.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I didn't get to talk to you about it. How was it?
It was
and
great.
You met a celebrity? What?
Yeah, I spent a couple hours at the bar one night with Vanna White's brother.
That's not a celebrity.
Well, it's close to a celebrity. He actually does a show. I have to get what it's called. I forget what it's called. But he does a show where he interviews. This is an interesting concept. We got talking a lot about celebrities then. He interviews the relatives of celebrities. Brothers, sisters, children, parents. And it is kind of an interesting idea for a show. And because he is the relative of a celebrity, you know, he said, it's funny. He said, you know, with Vanna, he said, there's certain celebrities like in the music business where people who are into country music will know them. If you're not into country music, you're not going to know them. You're into rap music, you're not going to know them. Actors, you'll know some, you won't know others. Everybody in the world knows Vanna.
That's a good point.
He said that's where her celebrity is different in that everybody knows who Vanna White is. She's the butt of jokes. She's, you know, she's been in the lexicon, in the ether for the last 40 years.
Yeah, that is true.
So he said it was, you know, he talked about, you know, growing up and doing all that and how she was shocked. She just took that gig. She was just hired because I think she was modeling or she was something. I forget. But she was hired to do it for half a season. And she started it. She didn't plan on doing it. She just thought it was a way to make some money quick. And then the show took off the first year. Apparently, that show went ballistic the first year. And then
Do you want to know something funny? My mom, for Christmas one year, wanted like one thing so bad. And she got it. And she opened it. We knew it was going to be her favorite gift. And it was a book called Vanna Speaks. And it was Vanna White's autobiography. Yes, called Vanna Speaks. Finally, she never spoke.
So anyway, I had a great time talking to him about celebrities and who he said on his show. And I'll get the name of that.
The name of the podcast. That sounds interesting.
It does. He was a cool dude. He was a really cool dude. I enjoyed talking to him. And, you know, I just met him. I don't even know how I found out he was Vanna White's brother. But anyway, That was fun. That was the highlight of my PodFest, is sitting talking to him for a couple hours. So.
That's awesome.
All right. Do you want your horse to perform at its best? Poseidon Animal Health has the veterinarian recommended supplements to keep your equine friend feeling their best. Is your horse stressed by travel or competition? The stress paste can help them stay calm and focused. Worried about your horse's digestion? Digestive HP and Gut Health Reset Pack can promote a healthy gut and keep your horse feeling the best. Poseidon Animal Health products are trusted worldwide by Olympic athletes and Jamie. Give your horse the same champion treatment. Visit PoseidonAnimalHealth.com. That's PoseidonAnimalHealth.com. And now let's get to our first guest. Well, coming up first today, we have Jillian Higgins. She's been on the show several times before. You might remember her from Horses Inside Out. She's coming to us from the UK. And Horses Inside Out, you know, it's that thing where they paint the skeletons on the horses. And we've had so much fun talking to her the last couple of times. She has a new program, or I don't know if it's new. Jillian, is this a new program? Or
it is a new program, yes.
Okay,
absolutely.
Good.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on the show. It's great to be back again.
Well, you're always so much fun. We got to have you back. All right. So it's
thank you.
It's Pilates for horses. Now, I'm a horse husband. I have never done Pilates in my life. So for people like me, explain what Pilates is.
Well, basically, it's an exercise system designed by Joseph Pilates. And the aim is to improve posture, core stability, your balance, body awareness, and it's really designed for humans. So you might be thinking, well, why is it called Pilates for horses? But this program of exercises that I've devised for horses, for horse owners to do with their horses, has many of the same aims as the Pilates exercises that we do for our own health and well-being. But of course, we're doing exercises to improve our horse's posture, our horse's symmetry, balance, way of going, their comfort, their well-being, as well as performance.
Okay, so I was thinking of the yoga program where you're actually doing yoga on horseback. This is completely different than that.
No, so this is exercises for you to do with your horse. So the horse is doing the Pilates or the strengthening exercises, the stretching exercises, rather than the rider.
And we've got this is Glenn's kind of Pilates. He actually doesn't have to do it. He just has his horse do it.
That's right. I love this. I'm liking this more and more every minute.
I would say there is a certain amount of how you are, how you're interacting with your horse, your energy, your breathing, staying calm, and thinking about your posture in some of the exercises. So there is a dual benefit, as well as, of course, spending quality time with your horse and improving your bond and relationship. But really, it is the horse that's having to do all the hard work.
So what does it help?
Well, it can help a whole range of different things. And with this new program, because I've had a Pilates book out before, Pilates for Horses, but this one is new because it's a whole program. There's actually 74 different exercises. And might be thinking, oh my goodness, that's far too many.
I'm tired just thinking about it.
But what we've done is we've created this exercise selector. So the idea is you put in a problem or something that you'd like to improve with your horse. So you might say, I want to improve stride length, or I know my horse has got weakness in the thoracic sling muscles or abdominal muscles, or maybe you want to target the sacroiliac area. So you select your area or your problem, and it'll come back to you with, say, 10 exercises it recommends that you would include in your program. And as I've been doing this a number of years now, I do appreciate that as horse owners, we're all struggling for time. And so we want to make sure that the exercises are as easy to do as possible, easy to fit into the routine, aren't back-breaking for us as handlers or anything like that. So, you know, I put many, many years of thought into devising and tweaking and improving each of the exercises and the techniques. So there's video for every, like a video tutorial, video demonstration for every exercise, as well as sort of, you know, pictures and how-to guide that goes with it. So we've got a book with it. There's a planner. It's like, it really is a whole program of different ways of learning all about it to find the best program for your horse, really.
How hard is it to get the horses to figure out the movements and stuff? Is it difficult?
No, it's actually very intuitive, I would say. So we've got different types of exercises. Obviously, there's the carrot or treat-based exercises, which pretty much every horse is going to want to join in with and enjoy. But then we've got some really simple types of exercises, such as those in the weight transfer chapter. And weight exercises that are weight transfers are really a very, very relaxing, easy to do exercise type of exercise. And they basically involve some form of swaying or rocking from side to side or front to back. And there's various different ways that you can do it. But it basically makes sure you as a handler are all chilled out, calm and relaxed. Place your hand on the horse or hands on the horse. Make sure that they're in the best possible position, standing square, you know, at a relaxed time of day. And then gradually start to imagine doing the movement and then increase it. So it might be, for example, we've got a hind limb lateral sway, which is really good for stimulating the lateral stabilizer muscles of the hind leg. And those are the muscles that really help to protect the anatomy of the limb when you're turning. They're important for lateral work. They're important for protecting against the joints, against injury, really. But this hind limb lateral sway exercise, you have your hands on the top of the hindquarters, place them on, relax. And this is a great thing. And you really do get to chill out and zone out. And your horse does as well. And it's amazing, I find, how much when you breathe and relax, how you can feel the horse doing it too. Just really take your time. Very gradually start swaying the horse slowly from side to side. Keep repeating that movement in a rhythm and build up, and you'll find that the whole horse is swaying and you get a Mexican wave type of lateral movement going through the spine all the way up to the head. And it's, yeah, that's that type of weight transfer exercise. It's really enjoyable for both the horse and the handler, as well as having these sort of conditioning benefits. And I think as riders, coaches, trainers, whatever we do with horses, it's up to us to take responsibility for their posture and to make sure that they're in the best possible condition. And this sort of thing is just exactly what we need to be doing to help make sure that they are in good condition to be ridden and to perform in whatever chosen discipline we love.
Well, what's nice about this, too, is it's something you can do with any horse, right? Whether it's driving horses or riding horses or your mini, right? You can do it with any horse.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Any size horse, any type, any discipline. I think the common theme, really, is that whatever discipline we do, whatever function or type, then having the best possible posture, the healthiest muscles and skeleton, the best condition, the best fitness, all of this. And just as we know with us human beings, when we're in the best possible condition, we feel better, we feel healthier, we feel stronger. And it doesn't just affect us physically, but it affects us mentally as well. And I think this is the same for the horse. And so it's great fun to do and many, many benefits.
You know, if there's anybody that's going to do something that involves the horse's anatomy and structure, you're the one to do it. I mean, because there's nobody that understands that better than you do. So this cut makes perfect sense. You know,
I think that's what it's been born out of, is this understanding of the biomechanics of the horse and the requirements of what are we asking him to do or her to do. And are those structures appropriately aligned? Are they in good posture? And how can we help to strengthen and prepare them for what we're asking the horse to do?
Also, something I think you'd want to get some help on. I mean, you're probably going to take a long time to figure out 70 movements all by yourself. So, you know, you're going to take a while.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the 70 exercises, you wouldn't do all of them on your horse every day.
Right.
And there's different levels. So we've got some really, really basic levels for horses that haven't done anything before. A little bit like if you were to go to a yoga or a Pilates class yourself.
What do you mean I can do them all first time?
Oh, I'm sure you can. The really advanced ones. So, you know, you work up to it, don't you? And it's the same with this. So we've got different levels of exercises within it. And there's some that you think, well, that's not really an area I need to work on with my horse, but in other areas. But, you know, you're absolutely right in terms of learning, because we need to be able to assess our horse to work out what is what's going to be best for our horse. So I indicated about we've got this selector or exercise calculator, really. But we've also got this planning stage where it talks you through how to assess your horse's posture, perhaps to give you an indication on areas or exercises that might be of benefit, how to look at your horse's straightness or movement and symmetry, again, to help give you an idea of which areas you need to be targeting. I mean, it is part of a big, big picture. And you know, this is where a professional coming in can be really, really helpful, because they can help to indicate maybe areas of weakness or areas that you need to focus on with your individual horse. And that's the thing at the end of the day, and probably that's why there's so many different exercises. Every horse is an individual. And we need to make sure that the conditioning program, the training programs that we do with them is appropriate for them and their individual needs. So that's really why it's so comprehensive, is to make sure that there's the right program, the right exercise for everyone. And hopefully it's providing the information in an easy to digest and understand way that's you can really apply. And that's everything that we do with Horses Inside Out. I always try and make it easy to understand and really useful. And that's, I think, is really important.
Where can people find it?
Well, if they head on to the Horses Inside Out website, and it's both on our Academy page and it's on our shop page. Basically, if you put Horses Inside Out Pilates for Horses into Google, I'm pretty sure it would come up.
Okay.
But
we'll put a link to it in our show notes too.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Yeah, that would be fantastic. That would be really good. There's a number of different sort of ways of getting to it, but depending on what kind of learning, whether you're a book person or an e-book person, or you're just interested in the videos and the selector and things. But that would be fantastic. If I give you the link and you could share it, that would be wonderful.
All right. That's great. I have it here and we'll put it in the show notes. Jillian, it's always fun having you on. We appreciate you joining us.
Oh, no, that's fantastic. Do you know what would be really interesting? Would be to get you doing this with your horses and see how you get on and hear a bit of feedback, how you get on with the Pilates exercises with your horses.
Well, you know, I have a Hackney pony who would love this, actually, because he's very inquisitive and he likes everything. You know, just he likes to be fussed with.
I think him and the fat Andalusian that I have would probably be great in something like this. They both need it for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, in that case, I'll send you a program and then you can have a look and let me know how you get on.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay,
I appreciate that.
You got to do it, Glenn.
All right. You know what? I haven't been driving him as much, so this will give me something to do with him. You know, be something to fun to do with him as well. Well,
in the winter months when it's cold, it's fantastic to have something else to do with your horse and it's raining outside, so that's good as well.
I wonder, I just had shoulder surgery. I probably could do this one armed. Perfect.
Yes, there'll certainly be some exercises you can do with one hand.
You need to add that to the curriculum now when you only have one arm because you just had shoulder surgery. You can do these five. <It's> like, thanks, Jillian.
That's my pleasure. Thank you.
The Stay Line Tack HRN coupon is being extended. You guys get 30% off any order over $129. Enter the coupon code HRN at checkout. Attention, horse lovers. Are you tired of galloping through your budget every time you need new tack or supplies? Head over to Stay Line Tack where you can earn rewards on every purchase. Introducing the Stay Line Tack Rewards Program. Now you tell me. Enjoy savings. I don't have that company by now. Enjoy savings just for shopping for the things you love. Earn points with every dollar you spend on saddles, bridles, boots, apparel, and more. Then watch those points turn into big discounts on your future orders. Joining is easier than saddling a pony. Simply create an account at statelinetech.com and you'll be automatically enrolled in the rewards program. It's free, it's easy, and it's the best way to keep your horse happy and your wallet even happier. Visit statelinetech.com today and start earning rewards. And don't forget, 30% off any $129 order. Enter coupon code HRN at checkout. Please note, some products are not eligible for the additional discount due to manufacturer restrictions, and these will be noted in your shopping cart. This Horse Health Report is brought to you by Daily Dose Equine, non-GMO core nutrition for horses and ponies of all ages. I would like to welcome to the show Dr. Michelle DeBoer from Spikes and Huels in Twin City, Minnesota. And what we've determined is Dr. Michelle is basically the doctor of hay, because we're going to talk to her today about round bale feeders and hay waste. We've had her on before to talk about hay nets. Now we're transitioning over to the hay feeders. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. Now, I find this fascinating, and I saw the picture that y'all posted on Facebook, and basically it is a round bale feeders and hay waste kind of comparison. So talk to us about the study that you did.
Yeah. And so to start, I can't take credit for the study. This was done by Dr. Krishona Martinson at the University of Minnesota. It took place a few years before I went to grad school with her. So I wasn't actively a part of this study, but I love the results and I like to try to find ways to kind of disseminate those results, which is kind of where this took off. But the study that she performed was looking at different round bale type of feeders for horses. And so they compared 9 different feeder styles, as well as a no feeder control. And they basically would get groups of 5 horses. They'd get a new round bale, be in a pen with that feeder, and they'd have access to that round bale for about 4 days before they rotated to the next feeder type. And then the fun part was collecting all the waste that was left over. So every day they go out and collect that waste and then weigh it back so they could determine, well, this is the size, the weight of the round bale that we put in the pen. This is how much that they didn't eat. And then being able to get those totals to determine how much hay was wasted for the different feeder types to ultimately look at the economical benefits of hay feeders.
Okay, so I'll go through them all just for people listening and their ears can perk up when they hear the one that they use. One is the waste list ones, which is you slide it in that box that has a roof cover, it has all sides, the hay chicks net, the hay hut, covered cradle, tombstone saver, the cone. Some of these are very cattle oriented, like the tombstone. Yeah. The ring and the hay sleigh. Okay, so what of all of these, besides the no feeder, which was your control group, had a 57% of hay waste. So if you're
Wait a minute, for the round bale, it was 57% if you just leave it on the ground?
Oh, God. If you just leave it on the ground, here's what they do. Ask me how I know. They pull it and they lay in it and they pee in it. They'll be eating and urinate right there. I'm like, can you not just take a step back? Seriously?
Yes.
It's ridiculous. Yeah,
they don't pay for it and they know it.
Yeah.
So really, so those bales that you're not using the feeder for cost us twice as much because we have to feed twice as many.
Yes.
And thinking of the labor of cleaning it all up and all that stuff of how much hay is just spread around your paddock or your pasture. Yeah, it definitely adds in a lot of work if you're just dropping them out there. But a lot of people still do it and a lot of people will continue to do it. But hopefully this study helps educate people on the benefits of trying something else.
Well, so what we did here was we've kind of used a lot of different types of things. I'm in Oklahoma and round bales is just kind of a part of life here. And we have the hay sleigh, which is this thing you kind of put the hay in. And we noticed that as the horses started to eat from the hay sleigh, all the hay would droop down underneath. So being the ever so frugal person that I am, I went and got a hay chicks net, put it on the round bale, and then put it in the hay sleigh. Here's the one problem with the hay chicks net inside the hay sleigh in the middle of winter when it's February and your husband is already pissed that he's on the tractor out in the freaking cold. And you're like, wait a second, lift it higher. I've got to get under the bale to get the net. Yeah. Okay, drop it down. I got to get, help me pull in this. It is, I mean, it is as close to a breakup as my husband and I have come. Putting on a hay chicks net before we put it in the hay sleigh in February when it's like freezing rain. So talk me through some other options.
Yeah, so basically the bottom line from this study was statistically using any type of hay feeder was going to reduce your hay waste compared to not using a feeder. So if I could give one takeaway, it is please use some type of hay feeder. Whatever it is, it's at least going to give you some benefits and some cost savings. But with that, so they found that the more restrictive hay feeders were actually going to be reducing the most amount of waste. And so they kind of
categorized this. Isn't that logical, though, when you think about it, right?
Yes. Yeah. And so they found horses, they like to toss hay around, right? We've all seen it. They stick their head in and they're just tossing their head around, throwing hay, trying to find the good parts. And so when the feeders that didn't allow them to do that, so that was like the waste less, the covered cradle, the hay chicks net, the hay hut was classified in there. They're like, even though they could technically stick their head in the hay, having those slots to stick their head in, they couldn't toss it around as much as those other feeders. So they found those four were the most effective at reducing waste. And then more of our circular, like those ring style of feeders, those were kind of that next tier at waste reduction. But it was kind of like the more restrictive they are, the less ability the horse has to just toss the hay out and around, the more hay that you'll end up saving in the long run.
And actually, your study showed the hay sleigh, the one that Jamie was just talking about, was the least effective of them all, still wasting 33%. So Jamie, what you found was right.
You want me to tell you why it's the least effective? Okay. Because these open the hay sleigh where you slide it in and they grab all the hay and pull it out. And basically after about 4 hours, it looks like the hay sleigh has vomited hay. Like it's like bleh, like shooting out the front of it. It's all over the place and it is crazy. So what I did.
They are not a sponsor of ours, obviously.
It's just a type. It's not a brand. But I found a place near me that's not on this one. And this guy makes the hay sleigh. But instead of those like kind of big loops underneath that hold the hay, it's almost the equivalent of a really thick no climb. And so the hay can't go out the bottom and out the sides as easily. Yes, they still pull it over the top, but I'm not putting a hay chick's nut on it getting divorced in February. Okay, so like that is the one good part of it. But yes, using anything. Now, some of these, like those hay rings and stuff, I cringe with the tombstone one, which is the ring with like the loops that go up. And I just cringe with horses. You see it a lot with cows. Do you have any that kind of scared you as far as horses being dangerous with horses?
So they did look at safety as part of this study. And keep in mind, I mean, every group of horses was on, and they had five groups of horses that rotated through, and they were each on it for 4 days. So not extended amounts of time. But over that time, they also observed any safety issues, and they did not find any for the hay feeders. I think the only thing they noted was the wasteless feeder. They had some like superficial, like they just rubbed some of the hair off on the sides of their face from like going through those grates. But like other than that, they did not have a single safety issue. With that said, I know one, horses just like to get into problems, so I don't put it past them. And I also know certain horses are more prone to that than others.
Jamie and especially I, it's our horses that are more prone to that than others.
You guys yes. Take them all for the rest of us.
Yes, we do.
And especially young horses, right? Like, I mean, the younger they are, the more trouble they tend to get into. So, you know, I do think there are some things to pay attention to. I do think there could be a longer study looking at safety concerns, but I do think a lot of it just kind of depends on the individuality of the horse and certain just scenarios that tend to be just circumstance and maybe a bit of bad luck that they end up doing those things. But yeah, according to the study, no safety concerns were observed.
Gotcha. Okay, that's fantastic. So basically, get a feeder and use it. And if you like even when we do the hay chick's net in the hay sleigh, oh my God, it is crazy how long it lasts and how little wastage there is. So, you know, if you can get both done, I definitely do it. I mean, a lot of people will put the nets in any of these. Did you see that? I mean, maybe this wasn't part of the study. One of my concerns when they take too long to eat it is if it rains and they're all eating it, it doesn't go bad. They just mow right through it and it's fine. Mm-hmm. But if it rains and you've got a net on it and it's too slow feed, did you find that the hay can get unhealthy to feed?
So not as part of this study, but just, I guess, more anecdotally we do recommend that horses get through a round bale in about 5 or 6 days if it's not covered. And so to prevent, and again, it'll be dependent on the weather and, you know, is it dry or raining or whatnot. But for that, having a covered hay feeder would be more ideal. So for us, it's cold. I don't want to be throwing square bales out every day. So we do round bales, but I have 2 horses and a pony, and it takes them between 3 and 4 weeks to get through the hay. So I very intentionally purchased a covered hay feeder because then that restriction is not going to really be as necessary, because that covered component will prevent it from getting rained on and will prevent that weather damage. So that's what I would recommend, is if you are feeding a small amount of horses a round bale where it's taking more than 5 or 6 days for them to consume the round bale, go with, I think the covered ones here are the Wasteless, the Hay Hut, and the Covered Cradle would be. Or, I mean, you could technically stick, I've seen some people where they'll put their feeder under a shelter. So they'll kind of have it built in underneath a run. That would be another option as well. But trying to protect it from the elements.
Dr. Michelle's hay's not going bad up there. It's too cold. There's nothing.
I know.
There's nothing rotting at this point.
Yes, our cold temperatures definitely help us preserve that. But then we get, like, if it's, when we have the sideways snow blowing and everything gets crusted in ice, we have other issues we could deal with.
Now they're having snow hay. They're having snow cone hay.
Yeah.
They get some extra moisture in there, right?
Exactly. It's like a treat.
Like hydrating them.
Well, Michelle, thank you so much. Where can people go to see this study and to ask any follow-up questions they need to?
Yeah, so I run kind of a professional Facebook page called Equine PhD, and on there I try to promote different research and just kind of get the word out about just horse research in general and be that connection between the scientists and the everyday horse owner. However, the University of Minnesota, who was the group who performed this study, they also have a phenomenal extension page that goes over a lot of their personal research. So if you're on Facebook, you can check out my Equine PhD page. You can also Google University of Minnesota Horse Extension. They have a ton of great resources as well. But yeah, feel free to, you know, message me on there. And I love to talk to people and answer questions and find other projects to highlight. So any feedback or thoughts are very welcome.
On this page now, this is super fascinating. So many things you always think about. So thank you for doing this and putting this up. And everybody go follow Equine PhD on Facebook. It's fantastic.
Great. Yeah. Thank you guys so much. And yeah, anything you see on there that you ever want me to come talk about, I'm happy to join again.
All right. Stay warm up there, Michelle.
Thanks. You guys enjoy your better weather than what I'm having.
Anywhere's better weather than what you're having.
This is true.
Non-GMO whole food nutrition is the basis of the entire Daily Dose Equine program. We never forget that natural is better and simplicity is key. Daily Dose Equine uses non-GMO whole food ingredients like alfalfa, timothy, peas, sunflower seeds, and flax. Daily Dose Equine doesn't use fillers, bulking agents, or leftovers from other industries, so you can feed less yet improve body condition and energy. And our feeds are free from chemical residues and glyphosate. Find the perfect formulation for your horse at dailydoseequine.com. Select Daily Dose Equine formulations are available nationwide through Chewy.com and TractorSupply.com.
You can enjoy your favorite equine videos all in one place with Ride TV, the ultimate equine streaming platform. The newly relaunched Ride TV has all the series you love, like Rockstar Vets and Mini Horses, plus top-tier training videos and event footage from BarrelRacing.com and Horse and Rider On Demand. Whether you're ready to relax with your favorite series, binge watch competition footage, or train with a world champion, subscribe to Ride TV today for only $19.99 to see where your ride takes you. Visit RideTVGo.tv to subscribe.
Time to learn why some days you're embarrassed to be part of the human race in Jamie's Weird News.
Well, we got a couple weeks worth now. And of course, if you are ever looking through the news, wherever you get it, and you see something that's super weird, email it to me, weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com. Now, I would like to also comment, make sure you spell weird right, because if not, it goes to Glenn. Anything that's misspelled at horseradionetwork.com goes to Glenn, and then he has to say, and then I get all these emails from Glenn, and I'm like, why is he emailing me? So save me the drama of getting emails from Glenn. Weird, W-E-I-R-D, weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com. Just like Delia, Laureen, Shelley, Shannon, Aaron, Molly, Debbie, Amy, Julie, and the aforementioned Glenn have sent me all of those emails, and I got like 40, but Glenn makes me keep it down to 4. So I'm going to do the best I can. But Glenn, as usual, where do we have to start?
In cold, wintry Florida.
In the cold, wintry Florida. That's right. Okay. So this lady is,
let me guess, bless her heart. Lucy.
Her name, well, this lady, her name is Taryn, and she was arrested for drugs 10 days ago, okay? And she posted bail, and she got out. Well, she was riding around with a friend of hers, and she was just a passenger in the car, and they were pulled over by a deputy. Ran the title, like, this person has been arrested for drugs before. So what do? Deputy Lexi Gordon brings her canine unit dog, Aurora, into the car. And the driver is like, there's nothing illegal in here. Of course you can search the car. But nobody talked to Taryn about allowing the dog in the car. The driver's like, we're not doing nothing. Well, unfortunately, the driver might not have been doing anything, but Taryn had a lot of paraphernalia and drugs on her. She was found with, let's see, Narcan, needles, meth, digital scales, small baggies, cut straws, other drug items associated with it. But here's the cool part. And I can't believe they busted her. She had all of it in a bag that looks like it was made on Etsy, right? You know how you can buy bags with different sayings on them? Yeah. On this bag, it said, definitely not a bag full of drugs. It says that I should send you a picture of this bag. It is like in cursive. It says, definitely not a bag full of drugs.
Because the cops and, will go, the cops, I'm sure, look at that and go, there's no drugs in there.
Here's the arresting officer's quote. The bag was filled with snacks. Nah, just kidding. It was actually drugs. He said, that's right. She actually had a bag with drugs on it in a bag that said, definitely not a bag full of drugs. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's Florida.
She's back in jail. It's Brevard County. Yeah, I don't know where that
that's
is.
That's where Port St. Lucie is. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Well, let's see. We are going to go to Moses Lake at Groff Elementary. This is in Washington State. Okay. So all the kids are heading to school. And, you know, now they'll do things where they like mass text everybody. Like they can text all the parents in the school. Like used to be emails, used to be phone calls before that, you know, but there was a mass text that went out to all the parents of this school saying, please come and get your children. There is a mountain lion outside the school. And so they went into lockdown. I don't think they even got there. They locked down.
Hey, wait a minute. Let me just think about this. We got a mountain lion outside the school. The kids are locked inside the school. And now we want the parents to come take their kids outside the school.
I'm guessing a little bit on that because why? I don't know if they told them to come get them or whatever. They locked down the school. I don't know if that means come get them or not, to be honest, because I've never had to have a school locked down due to a freaking mountain lion. Okay. They said the school wrote in a statement, we take all reports seriously. And this was the first report we've ever had of this nature. So they call out animal control and wildlife and swarm the school. And it wasn't a mountain lion. It was just an incredibly, incredibly fat orange cat.
Yeah, that's a little different.
I got to send you a picture. This is the fattest cat I've ever seen. I'm going to send you a picture right now. I'm going to text it to you. I want to get your reaction. Let's see. Message that to Glenn.
Don't tell me it was bright yellow, too. Like,
oh, it's orange. Yeah. It's for real.
Mountain
it's
a lions thing. Are not bright orange.
Yeah. Okay. Text has gone, all right, gone through.
Okay.
Here's a picture of the mountain lion that was spotted. It was eating a rat. It was eating a rat before.
Oh, my God. That's the fattest cat I've ever seen.
I feel like that should be in the show notes.
That is the fattest cat I've ever. That cat must weigh 30 pounds.
I'm going to also just.
Okay, but it doesn't really look anything like a mountain lion, I got to say.
No, I don't. I don't think it does. But it's like somebody saw this fat cat eating. I'm also going to send you a picture of the definitely not a bag full of drugs thing, too. So that's on its way as well. See, that's the thing. Some of these need photos. So I need to find a place to post.
Well, we do have
weird
a Facebook
news
page, you know, for Horses in the Morning.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if I should do like a weird news horses in the morning page. Mm, that's too much to manage. Okay.
It does say
next
definitely
one.
Not a bag full of drugs. All right, next.
So Charlestown Racetrack is 20 degrees. Yeah, that's got to be in West Virginia, I would imagine. And it was snowing. And the temperatures were in the 20s, but they were still running the horses. Unfortunately, in between the first race and the second, and there's video, just so you know, you can watch it on formerly known as Twitter on the Race Charlestown Facebook page. Somebody went for a winning streak. A dash for fame happened right after the first race. The race secretary says, "We look up," and quote, "We've got this guy standing in the track with nothing but his sneakers on. And he's holding up a sign."
We had a streaker?
We had a streaker in 20 degree weather with snow on the Charlestown racetrack. This guy's holding up a message. Nobody even understands what it says. So what happens is they call security. They've got a naked guy who's jumping up and down, doing jumping jacks, pointing at a sign, running up and down basically the home stretch. And what's funny is it's so cold that like that area where everybody stands to watch the races is called the apron. There was like nobody there. So this guy goes out completely naked and runs up and down the track to nobody. And he's running and he's trying to make a statement and has some sign. And the sign says, "Streaker number two, bet to show again." And nobody knows what the hell that means.
That means he did it before.
They call security. Security runs down. By the time security gets down there, he jumped out of the track, ran across the apron, scaled the perimeter fence, jumped down, jerked on some clothes, ran to his car, got in his car, and left.
He got away?
All before anybody caught him. Yeah. So nobody could be like,
way,
what are you
scaling
doing,
scaling a fence
idiot?
Naked as a man sounds dangerous.
I mean, that sounds pretty terrible,
It does. Things could go wrong.
They said they gave a description of the vehicle to the police department, but we've not heard anything at this point.
Ooh, they always do live feeds of those races, too. I wonder if it's on there.
Oh, it's that. Well, I mean, I'm watching it right now. Oh. It's kind of an old skinny man. But they blurred out his wiener, unfortunately. I want to see a tiny, cold little... I really don't.
On
never mind.
Too
much. No. Okay. I think just cold makes people crazy, yeah. I think. In Highland Park, Michigan, a man went into a Dollar General. And he goes into this Dollar General all the time. And he's walking around and he goes to the freezer section where he sees a bunch of boxes of Hot Pockets. So he just opens the freezer, starts opening the boxes, and starts stuffing Hot Pockets into his pockets. Okay, his coat pockets, his pant pockets. He's running, and an employee finally sees him like, "Hey," I mean, basically it's like, "Hey, Bill, what are you doing?" And what he ended up telling them was, "Nobody escorted me back here to the Hot Pockets, so I'm helping myself." At that point, he gets angry. There's more questions that I have than answers. At this point, he grabs a container of chicken wings. Do they have chicken wings at Dollar General?
A frozen section, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. So he starts grabbing a container of chicken wings. They're like, hey, you can't bill. You can't steal the Hot Pockets. Take them out of your pockets. He starts yelling at people. And then he apparently pulls a gun out of his coat pocket, threatening an employee.
Where did he have room for all this stuff in his pocket?
He's got a lot of pockets, all I know. So they were like, Bill. I mean, they noticed his last name is Hudson. They're like, Bill, you got to go. Get out. So Bill runs out of the store. Well, employees know that he works right down the street. So the officers come and they pull up and they go into the Dollar General. They're like, hey, Bill works right down the street. He just came in here threatening to kill everybody with a gun, stealing Hot Pockets. So police are like, all right, well, we're going to go down to Bill's workplace. So they drive down the, like, you know, a tenth of a mile to where Bill works. And they're not mentioning where he works, but it's fairly close to a Dollar General. So police swarmed in and they found him in the break room eating Hot Pockets.
As you would expect.
Yeah.
Can't eat them frozen. Like
you can't deny it, Bill. You're eating Hot Pockets. He was then taken into custody where they found a pistol in his backpack. Apparently, the gun wasn't his. It was registered to a different person from Detroit, and he didn't have a license to carry a gun. He stole Hot Pockets, and he threatened to kill people. Like, that's one bad day, dude. What are you doing? Just pay for the damn Hot Pocket.
I mean, his food choices have something left to be desired as well. Let's just throw that in there between the Hot Pockets.
I haven't had a Hot Pocket in
40 years.
Who eats Hot Pockets?
We were teenagers, but
it's liquid lava, isn't it?
Don't you burn your face?
Oh man,
Bill was hungry. What can you say?
Bill, ask an employee for a Hot Pocket. They'd probably give it to you, not have you threatened. Now he's in jail forever.
I wonder if it's now armed robbery because he showed the gun.
Yeah, he's in prison right now. They say that he faces charges of felony possession of a firearm. Yeah.
Jeez. Poor Bill. He'll get plenty of Hot Pockets in prison. So
he's going to get a whole lot of pockets. It'll be fine.
Not chicken wings, though. I doubt they get any of those. So Bill will have to suffer through his Hot Pockets. Hey,
weird news was stupid.
Yeah. It was that kind of weird news day. You can send it to weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com for next Wednesday's weird news. Before we go and get to our post show with Robin, I didn't get a chance to talk to you about how much money we won because of Caldera.
Oh my God, isn't this so exciting?
Yes.
Okay. I went into Lucas's bedroom last night.
Yes.
And I was like, hey, you know how Caldera won his last race? And he's like, yeah. Like, I got paid. And he's like, you did? How much did you make? And I was like, guess. And then he's like, 10 cents. And I was like, no.
No, we got a lot more than that.
Tons more, way more than that. Do you want to tell everybody what our take home pay
was? I think
it was
$4.85.
$4.94. Oh. Don't shortchange me. Yeah. My account. I'm buying another horse.
But I figure they're targeting Caldera for the Kentucky Derby. And the next race he's going in is a $1 million race. So if on a $60,000 race, we got $5, imagine how much we'll make on $1 million. And then when he wins the Kentucky Derby, we'll make a fortune.
I mean, I'm telling you, I remember our dear friend Clark, who is an auditor. He is the one who kind of got us started in this whole business of buying my racehorses. And he had a horse that won, the Preakness and the Breeders' Cup. And I mean, he got paid.
Hundreds of dollars.
He just bought more horses.
Yeah. I think he's still buying horses, too. I think Clark has a problem. We need an intervention with Clark because I think he's bought every horse that's come along.
Do you know what's really stupid is I saw that there was another one being offered and I was like, oh, I'm going to buy that one. And I was like, how many do I have? And I went into my horses kind of on the app, your stable, and I already owned that horse.
Okay, that's bad.
That's really bad.
I figure, 25 more races will get our money back. If he wins 25 more races, that is.
To be fair, his Spire speed figure was like 84 in this race. Do you know how fast the Spire speed figures are for like Derby horses?
No. I don't actually.
110.
We got a little ways to go, yeah.
Got a little ways to go. An average Oklahoma horse is like 45. So let's ship him to Oklahoma. He'll win all the stakes here.
Well, that's the thing. They can really pick what races they put him in so he becomes a winner, right? So he did look pretty good in that race. The blinkers were what made the difference, I think.
Oh, my God. Blinkers, and he's so pretty.
He's so pretty. Have you put in to get him after? He matches all your other
ones. Hopefully he goes to be a big breeding stallion.
Yeah, maybe. Hopefully.
And we make money on that too.
Yeah, we can make 10 cents on those, each one of those. We'll get it back in 10 years. We'll get it back. I didn't know we even won money until I got the email. I was like, I got to go look.
I know. I did too. I was like, oh my God, we actually made money on that? Cool. Woo, $4.94, baby.
Well, thank you, Clark. None of us would have had those huge earnings had it not been for you. So we appreciate it.
I mean, making it rain, baby.
Get on that note.
It's Spain again.
Tomorrow's the Equine Affair episode. Tune in. Equine Affair is coming up, Ohio, April. Auditors, hang on.
Time for the Auditor Post Show. We want to remind you that this is not always safe for work or the kiddos. Thanks for hanging around for our nonsense.
Well, part of our Year of the Auditor here in the Post Show, we have Robin on with us. Robin Donahue, you see her posting in the Auditor Room a lot, and she is from Texas, also a fellow cruiser on every cruise. I think you've never missed one, have you?
I've never missed a cruise.
Well, we're looking
and at you're still alive.
We're looking I'm at still Alaska alive. Next year, Robin.
Haven't drowned yet.
We're looking at Alaska next year. I'm talking to the travel agent today, so. But you have had a lot of changes down there in your life. You got a new farm. Tell us about that.
I did get a new farm. I moved from property that was just under 7 acres. The horses only had about a third. And now I have 17, and they have pretty much all of it.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
That is great.
They really love it.
Now, was this set up as a boarding stable or a barn before?
It was set up as it had some horse facilities on it already. It has like a huge, I think 150 by 200, actually it's bigger than that, roping arena. And it's completely fenced. And then it had some stables. There were 4 stalls with runs just built off of the arena. There's a huge tack room, and it has like a wood decking around it. And then over, like, that's kind of away from the house, but you can see it from the house. And then closer to the house is a workshop that is like complete. It's a metal building and it's cemented, but then it has kind of branched off like in an L shape. 5 stalls that have huge, huge runs and then open directly into a small little paddock. And entire property is like grass already. Well, so that's kind of cool.
And Jamie, that wasn't enough stalls. You're building a new barn.
I did. It's not like going to be an enclosed barn because in Texas it gets so freaking hot. So we've got a big roof, and then I built off, like, I'm trying to remember. I think they're like 8-foot lean-tos off the long sides to prevent, like, rain to blow in. Because the reason I'm doing this is because the place that my daughter, Corinne, takes riding lessons, and she rides with a USCA certified instructor. Her property is next to a school, and the ISD bought her property for like an insane amount of money. But it was kind of like one of those, you don't have a choice, you have to sell. So then she's like kind of mini panicking because she had no idea where to move everybody to. And she had tried to move all her boarders to another barn and partner with them, but apparently they're a bunch of idiots. And so everybody moved back and it didn't work. So now, and then she was like, you want to build a stable? I want to move to your place because we kind of like have the same thoughts and like the, we have the same idea about how horses should be cared for. And so.
So you had built-in business when you moved in?
Basically.
Yeah. Wow.
And she hasn't been advertising. So she has like, I think she's up to 18 horses now that are boarding. And then.
How many horses do you have on the farm total?
Right now, I currently have of my own 6.
But total on the, so that you have like 20 some total?
Yeah, 20. Let's see. Well, because like the Connor Combined Training, they've got like 18. And then the stall, the barn that I just built is going to have 22 stalls.
Jeez.
But there's also like 4 stalls right near it that we're going to plan on using for like schooling horses.
Jamie, then, she has more than you.
You know, she's winning. She's winning. But I got to just ask before we go any further. How's Joey? You guys got Joey, one of my old horses, and I know your daughter competed him, and I hear he's kind of like, she's graduated from him, but is he doing okay?
He is absolutely in love with my new carriage horse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's always been a little slut around the women.
Yeah, he's the ladies' man. And yeah. But they play, like, because the new carriage horse is only 6. And so he now thinks he's 6. And so, yeah, they do the little bitey stuff to each other. And he's always after her knees. And then when she tries to go after his, he rears up and lands on top of her. And oh, she's only a 16-3 hand Percheron.
Oh, yeah.
She's winning.
She's winning. Yeah. A lot of padding there. Well, this new place sounds incredible. It really does.
Yeah, it's. I'm amazed that this is where I'm living every day.
Well, I saw pictures of the barn and it's beautiful. And, you know, I think Jennifer probably did subconsciously too, that we had put the wings out too. We did not do that with ours.
Gotcha. And
I can see where it makes a difference.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is now that I'm finding out that, you know, winter northern winds come in, it gets really breezy in there, which will be nice in the summer, but in the winter it's like, oh,
did you get snow last night?
Not last night, but the night before.
Yeah, okay, you got it then.
But it was like a dusting, so only about maybe an inch, and then that was around midnight, and then by the time we got up, it was mostly gone.
So Robin runs a carriage horse business, and you got a new horse, Opal. And I assume Opal is for the carriages. Does Opal ride too?
Percheron? Yes, she does.
Yeah, both?
She does. She doesn't canter very easily, but walk and trot. She does not walk like a slowpoke. I'm like amazed by her walk. When she walks, she's going places.
Wow, which is unusual for Percheron, actually.
Which is very unusual for Percheron, and she even does it with the carriage.
Oh, wow.
And the
twice as many rides in the same time.
No kidding. But, I mean, I was trotting her home, or not home, but back to the trailer after doing a quinceañera, and we were trying to get there before the sun went down, and so I let her trot, and I have to say, since my standard bred mare is getting up there in years, I may have to compete Opal. She's that fast.
That's great. And Corinne is your youngest daughter, and Corinne is an inventor. Yes. How's she doing?
She's on pause right now because, unfortunately, when I got Opal, despite doing vet checks and everything, She came with strangles.
Oh,
had zero symptoms.
Huh.
Oh, and brutal. So yeah, she's on house arrest.
Everybody's on house arrest.
For how long do they do it? How long do they have to be tucked away?
Until they're better.
So there's no real, it's not like it's a mandatory 3 months or?
No.
Okay.
No, we're basically waiting for everybody to get symptom free before we start testing. And then we have to have the test 3 negatives for every single horse.
Does that concern you, Jamie? I mean, you're bringing in new horses all the time. You know, something
yeah,
like that.
There's plenty of reasons, Glenn, that I lose sleep at night, and that's one of the many, many on the list.
Robin brought it up.
Well, the thing that I do with Horse and Hound is they go into quarantine at Horse and Hound before they come here. So they're good and healthy, and they've been there for at least a month. So anything that would have popped up would have already
and
been
all the
seen.
Drugs have worn
so,
off from the track, so.
Yeah, so everything is kind of flushed through their system. So I used to take them 3 or 4 days after, and I'm like, this is dumb. Like, we need to figure out a way to stretch that kind of process out to where they come down a lot more, but also anything that they have will be on display.
Yeah.
Right.
And she can figure it out.
But
yeah.
You said this one
but
had
no
symptoms.
But no, there's plenty of things.
Had no symptoms at all. Opal had no symptoms at all.
No. And, I mean, so I put her with my other horses. You know,
yeah.
And then like about a week after she was here, she had the abscesses come.
So you had the really gross, all the things.
Yeah. I was like, is there anything else this could be? Oh my God. And
that sucks.
I've never dealt with strangles before. And I had always been told, oh, that's a young horse disease.
Yeah.
And then, so I'd never vaccinated any of my horses for it because I always got them, you know, 10 and up. And Opal is 6.
Did any of the others get sick?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
I know they quarantined the whole barn anyway, but I didn't know if any of the others had gotten sick. Well, I'm sorry you're going through that. God, you have a lot of new barn sick horses. this is probably your slow time anyway for carriage
it is,
jobs.
It is.
Thank God.
The only thing I have this month is a reschedule from last month.
Yeah.
Because it was raining.
How many gigs will you do in the summertime in a week on average?
In the summer, I don't work at all.
No, but fall and spring.
Well, let's see. My busiest month is usually April. And if I'm like super busy, I'll have 6.
In a week or in a month?
No, in a month.
Okay. All right. I was wondering about that. I was wondering how many you would do. Well, because there's travel involved.
In my comparison, December, 18 in the first 2.5 weeks.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And they're all like repeat business. They're all like, and they're like neighborhoods that hire me for their tree lighting ceremonies, or we bring in Santa, and the rides are like 3 minutes long.
Yeah. In and out. On to the next one.
Yeah, pretty much.
So you see a lot of Santas in one day.
Yeah.
Well, Robin, it's been fun having you on. We really appreciate you doing this. What's the name of your business anyway?
Fantasia Fields.
And is there a website?
There will be. Okay. I already bought the domain. I just have to put together the website.
All right. Well, I know you're on Facebook under that, aren't you?
I am.
Okay. So Fantasia Fields is where you can find it under Facebook. Well, Robin, thanks for joining us for our auditor time. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on.
Congratulations. You made it through another post show. Thank you for all your support. Now, go ride your horse.